Welcome to our Saturday simulcast. After a big win for Purdue on the road against Nebraska, 28-23 win in Lincoln, we'll have Tom and Brian talk this one out. This is a huge win for Purdue. Want to thank our sponsor, the Union Club Hotel and the Boiler Up Bar, for their sponsorship. It will be a big weekend next weekend in Ross-Ade Stadium. You look at it, Michigan State coming to town, might be in the top five by the time they get there. But Tom, I'll start with you. Really an interesting game. Purdue kind of hung in there early on, kept it close enough, and then really dominated pretty much for the whole second half. And in some ways, outside of the last Nebraska touchdown, it was a relatively easy landing for Purdue.
Yeah, they really did, Alan. It was sort of a tale of two halves for the defense. Third quarter, guys, Purdue only allowed 34 yards. In the fourth quarter, Nebraska had 128, but most of them came on that last drive. I think it was a 94-yarder for a touchdown. So long story short, boy, they really flipped the script defensively in that second half. Got more turnovers. I think by my count, it's 10 takeaways now in the last three games. Two games in a row with a defensive touchdown as well. So the defense, again, they had their rough spots early on in the first half, but they settled down and really controlled Adrian Martinez, guys. He wasn't – I think the threat as far as a runner goes, I thought he was going to be today. Only had, I think it was 18 yards rushing. Yeah, I'm looking at the stats now, 18 yards rushing for Martinez. He had less than half his passes, but those did go for 269 yards. But still, the defense – really did a great job today. And what more can you say about the offense too, right? David Bell got involved. Xander Horvath returned. Aiden O'Connell played very well with no interceptions too. And the offense delivered some big touchdowns in that second half when Purdue pitched a shutout. So, you know, here we are, 5-3. The Boilermakers are looking good, guys. You hate to say this, but I guess bowl eligibility looks like it's probably going to be a cinch at this point, right? With the way Northwestern and IU are playing. Alan, you talked about next weekend with Michigan State. I mean, like you said, a top five team coming to Ross-Ade Stadium. Could Purdue pull some more voodoo on a team with a high ranking? It's going to be a lot of fun next Saturday, guys. And I just hope that's a noon kickoff Fox so everybody can get to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when that's going to be. Well, like I said, should know that by noon or so Eastern time on Sunday. I would think it's going to be that game. The other really game of import, the Big Ten, Ohio State and Nebraska, if you call it that. And of course, would they put Ohio State? I don't know whether even a night game is a slot possibility. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Brian, Aiden O'Connell, Purdue did it in small bites today again. Only, I think, the longest pass play was 21 yards, or the longest play from scrimmage, 21 yards, I believe. Yes. What was your take from your vantage point in terms of what the Boilermakers had to do to get this job done?
Yeah, I thought Purdue had to make big plays to win, and obviously I was very much proven wrong in that regard. I thought Purdue did a great job sustaining drives. I thought they did a great job scheming a running game. I thought they did a great job scheming pass protection into their system for this game. I thought they generated a lot of high percentage throws for Aiden O'Connell. I thought he did a really good job, much better, obviously, than he did last week against a defense. Obviously, that's not as good as the one they faced last week, but I thought they did a really good job with their game plan. I thought they did a really good job with their play design. I thought they did a great job with the red zone offense, which what's kind of annoying about this from Purdue's perspective is that you still early in the game, you move the ball and you don't get any points to show for it. I'm not sure what's going on with Mitchell Finneran, but it sure seems like, there's some real confidence issues there or something. But it would have been nice to start that game off a little bit better on the scoreboard when your scripted offense to start the game, worked again for a few weeks in a row. Now that's been the case. And earlier in the season, that stuff was working. You were moving the ball and you weren't scoring. And then everything was drying up on you after that. Today, they did a really good job sustaining it. I thought they did a good job early on getting David Bell involved. It seemed like they used him more in the slot, probably knowing Nebraska spent its whole week, figuring out how to stop him when he's lined up wide. I thought they did a really good job using Jackson Anthrop, obviously both as a ball carrier, but a receiver out of the backfield. The route he ran in the red zone there for the touchdown was really, really
slick,
well crafted, yeah. And all of that stuff. And I just thought they did a really good job offensively. Obviously, when you don't turn the ball over, things are going to look a lot better. When you do turn the ball over, things are going to look a lot worse. But I thought they did a great job.
Well, and, you know, in the game, the play that may have turned the game around or at least got Purdue righted was Jalen Graham and his pick six. And yet, you know, it was kind of one of those funny games, Tom, because Cam Allen, I know there was a ball that Graham tipped, and it might have not been as easy a catch as it looked like on TV. I don't know with Cam Allen. That should have been a walk-in pick six as well. You know, that's the defense is turning out to be pretty opportunistic. I thought they got good pressure on Martinez and for the most part until they went into the prevent defense, I guess, at the end. But, you know, this is an interesting storyline. And now you got a chance with Michigan State coming in. I don't think they've beaten two top five teams in the same year since I was about age two. So, you know, we'll see if that would be 1961 if you guys are scoring at home.
75 years, huh?
Yeah. So I don't know. And I haven't done the full research on that. I know they have played – the last time they played two top five teams in the same year was 1999. Of course, Michigan State was number five and Purdue beat them in Ross A. But long story short is this is a great opportunity. There's a lot of – it's just amazing how this month of October – kind of like in a weird way, Purdue's had the month of October in a different way, but a very momentous month because you have a bad loss on the second, an amazing win on the 16th, another a disappointing loss on the 23rd, and on the 30th, you kind of feel good again. I mean, is that what we're going to experience? If Purdue pulls one out next week, you're really going to feel good if you're a Purdue fan.
Yeah, you're right. And Purdue's been in a win-loss pattern since, I guess, they opened the year, 2-0, right?
Right.
And can never build on that momentum. That's something we've asked Jeff Brohm about too, building on that momentum. And I know he talks to his team about it. Now, here we are again, right, guys? Purdue was the underdog today, almost an 8-point underdog, and they got the victory. Now, can they build on this momentum? And again, here comes Michigan State, 8-0. Spartans, I think, have won the last eight games with Purdue, too, guys.
Right.
And Alan, you talked about the game in 1999. Nick Saban coached Spartan team, five in the country, I believe. And that was the Chris Daniels game, right? The 301 yards receiving, Drew Brees.
21 catches.
So, yeah, who knows? It'd be nice if Purdue can build on this. And like I said, boy, Brian talked about it and some of the things he wrote recently. You know, this sport from week to week, you know, you just got to try to keep an even keel because these things change. And, you know, again, nothing's ever as good as you think or as bad as you think. Sure, they were all despondent last week after that
loss.
But still, here we are right now where everybody's riding high again, and Purdue's headed to great things. And again, you can get humbled awfully quickly here, and that's the battle of everybody, is to stay level and not change, guys. And one of the things that did change this week, I'm sure you guys noticed it, was, you know, with the return of Horvath using Anthrop in the backfield more, the three quarterback thing, right? It's almost non-existent for the most part today. We saw bits of it, dribs and drabs. But, you know, by and large, it was Aiden O'Connell, and they really didn't need to lean on those guys to help them run the football today.
Yeah, Xander Horvath had as important a 11-rush, 24-yard game as you're ever going to have. I just thought just having his presence in there. And I thought DeRue ran very hard and did well. They opened up holes for him without Greg Long. I you guys understand that better than I do, but I just thought that all those were good signs. I know Nebraska is not phenomenal on defense, but they aren't awful. And Purdue was able, even though they only had 350 yards of total offense, it was enough to get the job done. And that's what's going to make next week's interesting. That's what Brian talked about, how crazy this year's been when we went back. If you wake on August 15th and you'd have written down, well, when's that Purdue's going to get? Michigan State would have been one of them. You know, how bad the Spartans were last year. And of course, that's changed. And now they trailed 30-14 to Michigan in that game and came back and won, made enough plays at the right time. And they have a great running back and Kenneth Walker. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game in Ross A, I would think, Brian, on Saturday.
Yeah, if only Michigan State could play against Jim Harbaugh every week, and if only everyone could play against Scott Frost every week.
Yeah,
you know, there's certain coaches in the Big Ten who just can't get over a hex. You know, Jeff Brohm versus PJ Fleck is becoming one. But yeah, Michigan State's obviously kind of having one of those special seasons, it feels like. But you know, at the end of the day, too, I don't know if anybody really looks at Michigan State like they're Alabama or Georgia.
I agree.
That the record might be the same, but I don't know if anybody's really looking at them and saying, hey, they're not beatable. You know, I think there's one unbeatable team in the Big Ten, and I don't have to tell you who that is. They're playing right now over my shoulder here. But
they were struggling early, right? But they're ahead now, right, at the half.
They were trailing. I don't know if that necessarily means they were struggling, but someone scored on them, yes.
Yeah.
But I kind of look at Purdue's whole schedule, you know, the portion that's been completed and the portion that still lies ahead. And all season long, I've seen one game where you kind of look at it and you say, Purdue can't win that game. And that's Ohio State, obviously. I even thought Wisconsin. Again, I wrote it 100 times last week. I thought this was the most beatable Wisconsin team Purdue's played in a generation. Now, beatable is relative. You know, it's just, this isn't a dominant Wisconsin team. This is still a damn good Wisconsin team, but I just didn't think there was anybody on this schedule that Purdue couldn't beat other than Ohio State. And I stand by that. I mean, Purdue just, you know, won two really, really tough road games. You still got your two of your three most winnable Big Ten games out in front of you here with winless Indiana and obviously struggling Northwestern, albeit in a baseball stadium for whatever that's worth. But, you know, Purdue's got a lot of opportunities out in front of it here. It's put itself in an okay position. I don't know if anybody, when they let that game against Minnesota get away, I don't know if anybody really looked at that as something that, you know, they could kind of make up elsewhere. But obviously they have. Because they've been able to win on the road, you know. So they're in an okay spot here for sure. I mean, that there are multiple wins left on this schedule probably. And, you know, you only need one more to get back to the postseason. I'll say it again. I don't think six wins these days is necessarily the gold standard for success, but it is a lot better than the alternative. And, you know, Purdue's one win away from, you know, officially having reversed its fortunes pretty considerably from the last two seasons.
Yeah, and the opportunity, you know, again, no one's going to count victories, but you could get to eight, you know, it's possible. And in the regular season, yeah. And that, or you could stay at five too, the way this year it's gone. Yeah, it will start to look at bowl games, but I'm not going to quite do that just yet, just because of what Purdue's bowl scenarios will be. But it certainly was a big step. Anything else that came, Tom, the last question, anything else that came out of post game or any other reaction that you saw or heard from any of the players and or Coach Jeff Brohm in terms of just something that kind of struck you as relevant as you looked at the end of this game?
You know, Jeff Brohm said he was concerned or is concerned about the kicking, obviously. Once Fenner will get his confidence back, hasn't cost him yet, right? But I think he's only hit one of his last four field goals after starting 9 of 9. Also has missed a PAT. Again, it hasn't cost Purdue yet. And, you know, you guys know where I'm going with this. It could end up really biting you and costing you a ball game. So they got to get that sorted out. It all kind of gets glossed over in the glow of this victory here. And, you know, Jackson Anthrop too, guys. I don't know if we spoke too much about him. But what an unsung hero tonight, right, or today.
Terrific.
As a pass catcher and as like I mentioned earlier, carrying the football. Gives him a little bit of a giddy-up elusiveness in the backfield. You know, tonight he had 5 carries for 25 yards.
They're big, though.
Yeah, they were called 6 passes for 43 with a touchdown catch, too. So he's kind of your unsung hero tonight, I think, and really did a good job. So, he was obviously happy tonight as well. But, of course, they all say the same thing. It's one game at a time. And, boy, but Alan, you know, like I always say, it's our job to have fun and look forward and project and to count wins and to play out bowl scenarios because that's what
and be wrong, like, at least right? Me.
No, they love it. I mean, people love it. They all want to know the future. They want speculation. in the speculation of future of this team, 2021 sure looks fun. And it's been, like you said, a roller coaster ride. Boy, again, I'm sure doubts filled the heads of fans after some of those losses at home. But, boy, they've really been a good team on the road here. And to win at Iowa, now to win at Nebraska, boy, that's really righted the ship and has to give those players a lot of confidence moving forward here into November.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Jackson Anthem talked, I know, told Kelly Kitchell on the post-game radio just on the field. You know, this game meant a lot more to him, too, because it was where Danny got hurt in 2012. You know, the Anthem family is a pretty close-knit unit, and they have served Purdue sports, both basketball and football, about extremely well, even with Dad John as well. So big thing for Jackson. Can't help but he'd be happy for the guy, because the kid has not only did he stay here 6 years, dealt with injuries, dealt with last year as well, and has come off to do some good things. All right, Brian, you
everything he did today was important.
Every play he made,
everything he did today was important. It felt like
made catches.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, but he touches the ball 11 times, and I would agree. I think everyone was an important step. All right, you got some intel on the secret scrimmage. Purdue apparently drops a 90-88, as I think it was the score, or 89-88 decision to Providence. Purdue got on the plane last night and flew to Providence and played that game. I just want to add, as we wrap this show up, anything that you take from that? It might be actually not a bad thing for Purdue to you lose a scrimmage, I guess. But how do you take it? What you know about it and what it really means?
Well, I mean, the requisite reminder, first off, that it doesn't matter. And there's a good chance in 3 months, the result of this scrimmage is like a punchline, because Purdue's lost a bunch of these scrimmages and gone on to win 26, 27, 28, 29, even 30 games after these things. I think one thing to point out that's very important to keep in mind is that Providence played its starters for the most part, 27 plus minutes. Purdue didn't necessarily operate during this thing as if they were going all out to try to win. Now, there's going to be a process involved for Purdue here in terms of spreading around the minutes, finding the right combinations, finding the right rotation, all of that stuff. That could show up early in the season where, Purdue's still figuring things out a little bit, dealing with that good problem to have that is probably having too many players. But any coach in America will tell you that you can get better coming out of a loss in a situation like this than you can a win. So to lose in a situation like this when it doesn't count, there is, and it isn't spin. It isn't me putting lipstick on a pig here. It is simple reality that I don't think Purdue is all that shaken up about this. I think this could turn out to be a positive thing. That said, there are some things here that show up, at least looking at a box score and based on the things I've been told, that, speak to some of Purdue's pressure points here. One of them, Travion Williams was 3-7 at the foul line. Obviously not what you want to see in the first game here when you're really hoping he'll be better at the foul line. Purdue struggled to contain the dribble defensively. That's a huge, huge key to their success this season in terms of their defensive improvement, them being a good enough defensive team to win the sorts of games that they're going to want to be involved in this year. And then the other thing, decision-making. And I don't know what the nature of all of Jaden Ivey's 7 turnovers after halftime were, but that's a lot of turnovers. And, he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot this season. And, Purdue all across the board is going to have to take care of the basketball, get the best shots they can get, but more importantly, get shots, period, by not turning the ball over and by making really good decisions on offense. So those three things that are really, really important keys to Purdue's success this season didn't go so well today. I don't know if I'd necessarily assume that that's Purdue's reality moving forward. But obviously you would have liked to have gotten off to a better start in those three areas.
All right. That's the report as we know it. And Brian, thanks. And Tom, thanks. We'll let you get back to work. And there'll be a lot to talk about here in the next couple of days, especially to rehash this one and look ahead to what will be an interesting game in Ross-H Stadium. We'll have television times and all that kind of good stuff tomorrow. And Tom and Brian, one last question. So what's the line going to be in Purdue, Michigan State? I have a feeling, but what do you think it will be?
I bet you it's Michigan State giving 5.
That's what I'd probably say too. Michigan State just won a really high profile game.
Yep.
You know, people are going to be siding with them quite a bit just because they saw them play. And, you know, anytime you beat Michigan, you're on a national stage. They're unbeaten. There's naturally going to be some leeway given to teams in that situation, whereas Purdue might not be as nationally prominent in that regard. I would anticipate, you know, this being a, you know, 4 or 5, 6 point spread.
I'm going to look at 7 or 8, but I think we're in the vicinity, and your points are well taken. All right, I want to thank you guys.
I don't know what Nebraska did to earn such a robust spread over Purdue today. I mean, that was have you been watching Nebraska football for the last 3 years, Vegas?
You're the only one that got it, I think, of the three of us. At least I don't know what from picking the Boilermakers to pull the upset. So, all right, Tom.
I didn't pick them.
What?
I didn't pick Purdue. I picked Nebraska.
No, Tom did, I think.
But I didn't bet on them, nor would I ever.
No, I wouldn't either. Did I think we may have lost Tom. Yeah, but anyway.
Tom's it runs
it. Thanks to the Union Club Hotel for our Saturday simulcast. It's always a little more upbeat when the Boilermakers win. And we'll let, like I said, if Tom ever gets back to West Lafayette, which I hope he will, we'll look forward to that too. So all right, have a great rest of the weekend all. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Union Club Hotel. And we'll look forward to our Saturday simulcast. It might be a real late one if it happens to be a night game next week, but we'll see what happens. And we'll be back next Saturday, November 6th, for our next edition of the Saturday simulcast. Have a great week, everybody.